Welcome to Packets and Bolts, the podcast about technology, life, philosophy, and everything in between. This is National Emergency, our second episode. I'm Muskrat. I'm back with my co-host, Mongoose.
Howdy.
It's been a brutally cold couple of weeks.
Very cold.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy. And looks like today we're out of the government shutdown, but Trump has signed a bill to avoid the shutdown while at the same time declaring the emergency, thus the name of our show here. So, how's it been going? It's been a while, Mongoose.
Well, I got into a little car wreck because of the weather the other day.
Ooh.
Yeah, a little fender bender. The weather, not good. It's a national emergency up here. That's the real national emergency.
That's right.
It's living in the North Woods.
That is correct. So, was it really due to the weather or was it negligence?
It was both. Too much snow in between that guy's ears. That's what I got to say.
So you were not at fault?
I was not, no. In fact, I saw the police report. It was unsafe backing.
Unsafe backing.
Backing can be unsafe.
That is true, but it kind of sounds like a porno title.
Yeah, it could be that too.
Interesting.
A lot of junk in that guy's trunk when he backed his pickup into my car. Major damage. National emergency.
But no one was hurt.
No, we're all okay.
That's good. That's good. Okay, well, we got some headlines as always here. Our main topic tonight, of course, is on 5G wireless, the cellular 5G, not the Wi-Fi 5 gigahertz.
Not five gangsters either.
No, not five gangsters or five guys. It's neither
of
those.
That's right. We're talking wireless.
Wireless cellular technology, 5G. And of course, this is at Packets and Bolts. We are not a technology circle jerk, and we do not like to blow smoke up people's asses or technology's asses. So, you know, just because it's new doesn't necessarily mean we like it.
Everybody's talking about 5G these days. In fact, I had people asking me about when's 5G phones going to be available earlier today. And, well, we'll talk about when that's coming, but it's not going to be so easy. It's not going to be all sunshine and lollipops like everybody thinks.
That's true. That's true. Well, before that, let's get to the headlines here because we got some goodies here. I'm just checking my list. I like to print things off on paper occasionally because it's just more fun that way.
Gotta leave a paper trail.
That's true. But I do shred everything after the show. So, okay. So, as you might be aware, the rise of mobile VPNs. You know, those ones that are used for people to surf the internet, I don't know if I'd call it really anonymously, but semi-anonymously, and protecting you between the carrier and whoever you're connecting to on your VPN. Well, Turns out a lot of those are based in China.
Yeah,
no, I'm not really that surprised about it. And to be honest with you, I don't even know if I would care personally. So I guess getting a VPN, you have to decide why are you doing it, right? So if you're trying to avoid your carrier seeing what you're doing, then the VPN can help.
Or if they're trying to throttle you down, which, you know, now that internet neutrality isn't a thing anymore, VPNs can be good to defeat those guys.
If they don't throttle the whole VPN. But true, they have less visibility as to what you're doing. However, you do have to trust who you're terminating with. You could be, you know, it could be an American company too, but you have to trust that they're not looking at your stuff or selling it or the NSA grabbing what they're doing at the head end there.
Yeah, but we're talking about China now, right?
Right. So these news articles are specifically about China, but I'm just saying personally, just because it's in an American or British or whatever, you can't trust who you're terminating your VPN at in general.
Right.
But
well,
yes, China's worse.
Especially China. I mean, they got the great firewall of China. They're not known for their privacy. They want their, you know, Chinese anything seems to have negative connotations these days. I mean, from an information security standpoint, the nation state has its tentacles in everything, right?
That is true. But I do like Chinese food, so I don't want to trash them too much. However, I don't know if I would trust my VPN terminating at their equipment. I don't know what you
think. Yeah, well, I guess the moral of the story here is be careful which apps you download, folks, and mind your permissions.
That's true. We'll have to do a whole show on VPNs because I think some people are fooling themselves into a self-sense of security.
Well, exactly. I mean, people hear the word virtual private network or VPN, and they think that, hey, everything's encrypted. And I just saw that this week at work. That's not the case, folks. VPNs aren't by nature encrypted.
Correct. They might not include encryption. That is true. That is true. Okay, now this is kind of disturbing. I don't know. There's two semi-related stories, and I don't know. I don't want to be accused of picking on China here. But let's give the specific Chinese stories first here. So China sex dolls on the increase due to lack of women. Now, I think people are aware of the policies of China with the one child, I believe it was, that was implemented in the 70s, started leading to...
Yeah, it's 79, yeah.
Yeah, started leading to more, what's it called, infanticides with female babies because the society thought that male babies were more valuable. And this has about, 40 years now worth of... practice, which has devastated the female population, and men can't find too many available female partners.
And now, in all fairness, though, have you seen these sex dolls? I mean, wow.
I have. They look. Just saying. They're not too bad on the eyes. However, all I can say is the rise of the machines. It's coming, and I literally mean coming. Now,
hold on here, by the way, though. So we're kind of, and again, we're not ripping on the Chinese here, okay? And we are talking about some cultural trends that we've seen with them. But I did find an interesting statistic that 80% of sales of the new AI sex dolls, now these are the sex dolls that don't just look good, but they have intelligence to go with it. Artificial, of course, but 80% of those sales are exports to the United States. And the last time I checked, we don't have a woman shortage.
Well, that wouldn't surprise me, but we do have a rise on incels, if you know what those are. Have you heard of incels? Yeah, involuntary.
No, enlighten us, Muskrat.
Involuntarily celibate. It's a whole movement of young men in the United States, a growing portion of the population, and they just so happen to also be the majority of perpetrators of mass shootings. So that's not good either.
So they're involuntarily, you said, or voluntarily? That's what they're
saying, involuntarily.
Okay.
So that would not surprise me if the sex dolls are being shipped here for that.
Yeah, well, they certainly meet a need.
Ooh, well,
there's just so much going wrong with these stories this week already.
Yeah, it's not looking good. It's not looking good. But this one kind of piggybacks on that. However, it does have to do with a... this is actually an old story, but it was an update to an old story. And this is actually Indonesia. I'm actually surprised that this has happened in Indonesia. But an orangutan, that's right, an orangutan, was shaved and made up to be a prostitute to men for 6 years.
What?
Yeah. Yeah, this...
Man, you really can't get anything on the black market these days.
I don't even know what... What's going on with that or why that would be appealing to these men, but they serviced some village. It was a brothel in, I'm probably going to mispronounce it, but Kareng Pangi Village in Indonesian Borneo for about 6 years. And it was rescued. And like I said, there's an old story. It's an update to an old story, but it was rescued in 2003. I'm not sure why they're doing the update to this other than, I guess she is doing well. She's been recovering and living with other, orangutans, but obviously traumatized.
Well, if you think about it though, there's a socioeconomic side of this here to consider. It's probably not all about how depraved these Indonesians are. I mean, they are, don't get me wrong, but, well, rescuing that poor orangutan was probably difficult because the villagers prohibited it to safeguard the income they received from the sex trade.
Right. There's always economics.
I mean, they're heavily dependent on this to maintain their standards of living.
Right. That tells you something, too. I don't know. I don't know.
So much messed up with these stories. What else you got?
Yeah. So, so this one, okay, getting off China here, finally.
Finally.
not China getting off, just getting off China. Okay. Apparently gym class is so bad that kids are skipping school to avoid it. And this is on theatlantic.com. And not only does PE do little to improve physical fitness, apparently, but it can also lead to truancy and other disciplinary problems.
Well, so, I always liked sports, but even back when we were kids, gym class was boring and stressful. Now, I don't know if I'm ready to call these kids snowflakes, but I'm guessing it's worse today than ever before. I mean, it's another example of people failing to achieve a proper vision. I mean, what's the vision for gym class?
Exactly.
Are you going to magically make every kid healthy in 2 hours of grueling rope climbing per week? Hell no.
Right. Yeah, and gym class is one of those things where when you like what's going on, you'll look forward to it, and then when they cover something that's really stupid and boring to you, then you'll want to, you know, gouge your eyeballs out with spoons rather than doing it. So I think that's kind of the point. I don't think they have a firm understanding of what the goals are in some of these PE classes, and it's not making kids any more fit, apparently. So something's going wrong.
No, it should be about getting kids excited about the prospect of taking ownership of their health as they grow older.
That's true.
I mean, and then of course, at least when we were kids, they graded that shit. I mean, I got to ask, like, why are we grading gym class anymore? Right. The scale is naturally balanced toward the kids who are more physically fit. No pun intended. Well, pun intended. But if anything, make it as simple. Hey, did you take it seriously, pass, fail? Do you understand nutrition, pass, fail? You know what I mean?
Right.
Instead of, hey, fatty can't climb the rope.
Right. Well, right. And how much are they even doing in regards to true nutrition, right? Like, how much is that really a part of it? You know, I never really got taught nutrition in school. That's for sure. And learning the food pyramid is not my idea of nutrition class.
I don't think it's a food pyramid anymore. It's like a food polygon.
Is it?
A food trapezoid, or it's like a food sphere. It's three-dimensional now.
Yeah, I haven't seen it lately, but
it changes by the day, changes. I swear.
That's true.
I mean, at least we know that sugar is just a tiny portion. It always has been, but the food pyramid is deprecated.
Yeah, well, how about all those industry-funded studies that tried saying fat was the problem when really it was sugar? I'm telling you.
Shows how little we know about the human body, still.
That is true. Okay. And our last story, I just had to bring it back. I mean, these kind of all come full circle. The orangutan kind of, you know, meshes with the monkeys, the herpaceous monkeys from last show.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Different
have they,
region.
Hey, have they reached humankind yet?
Well,
are they raping and pillaging?
We'll have to check in with some of our Florida correspondents at some point and find out what's going on with that.
It's a good idea. I hope they're okay.
This is another Florida story to wrap it up on our headlines here. This is from Huffington Post. Florida man threatens to kill neighbor with kindness. Kindness,
oh, that's nice.
In quotes.
That's nice.
Yes.
That's...
It turns out kindness was the name of his machete.
Ooh.
Again, this is Florida, but a Florida man is behind bars after he allegedly threatened to kill his neighbor with kindness. And that's not what you think. Kindness is what the 30-year-old suspect, Brian Stewart, calls his machete, according to police. He was arrested on Thursday for an incident that allegedly happened Wednesday evening. It began when two neighbors went to the suspect's house concerned about yelling and banging that had come from the home all day, according to the Pensacola News Journal. Stewart came out of the house with an arm raised holding a machete, which had the word kindness written on it. So, one of the neighbors stepped in front of the other to block the blade and suffered a half-inch cut on his left hand.
Dang, that is a cutting-edge story right there, Muskrat.
That is. Oh, Florida. What a great place. I really need to visit Florida more often. Well, I guess there's not much more to say about that. That wraps it up for the headlines today. And before we get into our topic, of course, we have a word from our sponsor. But to give a little preview to the 5G conversation, we do have a little snippet here of the AT&T CEO talking about his recent 5G deployment that he's getting a little bit of flack flak for. So let's listen to that real quick here.
Now, you are facing a lot of criticism today, in particular from both Verizon and T-Mobile, for marketing your upgraded version of 4G as 5G. They say it's misleading. They say that it's confusing to consumers and ultimately could be very damaging for 5G over the long run. Why are you doing this?
Well, the fact that we have beachfront property inside their heads makes me smile. But that's really just not the case. If you think about the history of our industry, the top part of that phone has always given you an indication of the network information. In the early days, the number of bars told you where you were coverage-wise. And then when you were paying per megabyte, you'd look and say, can I get a Wi-Fi network? That's always been the information that was available to the customers about what's going to be available, what can they do. And so for us, it was a natural evolution when we announced 2 years ago at this show, actually, in 2017, that we were going to do this. So the fact that we did it and then all of a sudden our competitors have decided that they're upset by it, I think that they're wounded a little by our success last month.
So, Mongoose, what do you think about that? That's quite enlightening from the CEO of AT&T.
Oh, this guy. I mean, what the hell does that mean? If you think about the history of our industry, he says, the top part of that phone is always given an indication of the network information. Muskrat, is that even a response to the question? Is he saying that because AT&T shows 5G, a 5G icon at the top of the damn phone, that we should take their word for it?
Yeah.
And I also got to say, the whole beachfront property in your head is it's getting rather cliche. It's starting to piss me off.
Well, you know, they're just wounded. But I do find it telling that he uses as an example of the history of his industry to talk about what the top of the phone is showing you. I don't even know.
And I'll tell you what, being the CEO of a tech company obviously does not make you a technically savvy person. This is why you don't let management talk about technical shit.
That's true. That's true.
And I also love, if you actually watch the video, you see the graphic in it. So maybe there's a link to that on our website. But I love how the stock ticker shows up in the video showing AT&T share prices tanking while this guy's talking. It's hilarious.
Yeah, it's a little bit of irony there. But, yeah, I don't know. If I was going to talk about the history of a phone industry and then, you know, bring up something like, you know, the touchpad always gave tactile responses to your phone numbers. And that was something that, you know, customers were always looking for. I don't know. I think that would just be a little bit out of touch, in my opinion. Okay, well, let's... Oh, we do have some user emails, too, and I keep forgetting to give the email address to the show. If you want to email Packets and Bolts, that's packetsandbolts@gmail.com, packetsandbolts@gmail.com. And it turns out we did have a couple of people that must have found our email from the hosting site. So
yeah, word's getting around.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. So we got a couple emails to go through, but first a word from our sponsor, and then we'll get to those emails as well as the cocktail. Be back in a bit.
Hear that? The sound of bubbling beans boiling next to a babbling brook. Mmm, that smells good. Hank Hurlson here, proprietor of Baked Beans and Books. Our first ad really set off a firestorm of demand. Why, we've been plumb out of stock on all books for the last several weeks. Don't worry, more's are coming. Don't let the lack of books stop you from coming by to try our wonderful baked beans. Tell our bean ristas the boys at Packets and Bolts sent you, and we'll throw in a little something extra. Bet you're curious what that is. I'm not telling. Remember, we're located at 11111 State Street in Madison, Wisconsin. Baked beans and books. When books just aren't enough.
And we're back. This is Packets and Bolts. Muskrat and Mongoose here.
Good stuff, yep.
And we'll get to 5G and more importantly, the cocktail in a bit here. But we do have a couple emails from our last show. The first one is from Pablo in Madison. He says those monkeys, to keep them from spreading to the rest of the United States, maybe we should build a wall around Florida.
National emergency.
That is true. That would be a good call for a national emergency to keep those monkeys out.
That's not where we're building the wall, though, is it?
Not currently. They're looking at Texas, I think.
So maybe we just need to build the wall a little bit farther.
That's true, but I think there's a problem. I think monkeys can climb as well as swim.
Shit.
Damn it, Pablo.
Pablo, good idea, man.
Okay, then the other email here is anonymous. I could give the email address, but it's probably defeats the purpose of him signing anonymous here. He says, he or she says that we were too harsh on PCI last show. The PCI standards.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Must be PCI auditors listening to our show. I should have known.
Yeah, all I can say is I'll admit that PCI has achieved some good, but it doesn't do enough. And I don't think we were that unfair to it. I don't think we trashed it that much.
No, I mean, we could still trash it some more, I guess. I mean,
we could dedicate a whole hour on that.
Yeah, we went easy on you, so don't be offended. All right, Snowflake.
Anonymous Snowflake writes. Okay.
So PCI auditor, you know, don't reveal your email address next time. Or maybe they spoofed it.
So yeah, could be.
Maybe we don't know if that's their legitimate email address. All right. Good stuff.
Okay, again, that's packetsandbolts@gmail.com if you want to write the show. Okay, for the cocktail of the hour here. Over at my homestead, I have brewed up a totally winter drink, much more than the White Russian of last time. This is a Tom and Jerry. So nice and hot with copious amounts of Tom and Jerry batter. And for those culinary people out there, pretty much Tom and Jerry mix is a really just, I think, like eggs and butter and confectioner's sugar and... and some spices, I think, maybe nutmeg and stuff. But you drown that with a good shot of brandy and rum. But in my case, I like dark rum much better. So I'm going to do one part brandy to 2 to 3 parts rum, I think. So 1 second while I grab those libations. Okay, let's see here. Pretty good, but I think it needs more rum. Oh, yeah. That did it.
That does sound tasty.
Oh, that is good. My brandy tonight is XO, and my rum is aged Bacardi. Mm-hmm. Bacardi rum. It's not a party if you ain't got Bacardi.
That's right.
Oh, that's good. I'm probably going to down that. How about you, Mongoose? What's your poison?
Well, Muskrat, I'm getting blasted on rumshotic cheesecake pudding shots. For all the punch-drunk Martha Stewart lovers out there, that's one small package of instant cheesecake pudding mix, not the cooking kind. That's bullshit. 3/4 of a cup of whole milk, an 8-ounce tub of Cool Whip, and a shit ton of rumshotic. Woo-wee! Whisk it together, garnish with graham cracker crumbs, and place in your freezer for at least 2 hours. Freezers are great. They double as Faraday cages, too.
Well, that's some planning in your drink tonight.
Good shit. Keep them rolling. I got a bunch of them. Still plowing through.
So you're just taking shots at random times?
I am.
Nice. Okay, let me get another slip here. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, that's good. Okay.
Hey, graham cracker stuck in my throat.
Oh, no. You gotta watch that graham. How many grams of graham crackers is in there? Okay. Well, I hate to say it, but 5G, the wonderful new spice of life to get people excited, at least I think that's part of the issue here, to get people excited in cellular technology again, has come around. And there's been a whole bunch of stuff I've seen. Of course, there's a whole bunch of ass-kissing of the cell industry over this technology, but I've seen a lot of stuff on YouTube and people just kind of complaining and worrying about whether the health effects or privacy concerns, etc. So that's why I decided that tonight's topic should be on 5G, because I personally think it's a bunch of BS, and the more you look into it, I think it just becomes more apparent. But I don't know, Mongoose, what do you think?
Well, I agree. It's bullshit. Let's start back with our buddy John Donovan, CEO extraordinaire of that technology conglomerate AT&T. In the video that we heard about before the commercial, struggles to explain his company's technology claims and insists that his competitors are just jealous because they aren't pioneering 5G standards the way AT&T is. It's completely asinine. And what's true, though, is that AT&T is trying to improve the things that people care about in their mobile phone services. Speed, reliability, reduced latency, those types of things. But what Verizon and T-Mobile are bitching about is the fact that AT&T is branding their advancements as true 5G when in reality they're not standards-based at all. What's confusing is that AT&T is developing what could be called a fifth generation cellular service, what's actually being termed 5G evolution, in fact, but it does not represent the standards put forth by the 3GPP. Now, 3GPP we'll talk about a little bit, but at the end of the day, it's just really an enhancement on 4G. And by the way, the 3GPP is the third generation partnership project. That's consortium of groups of telecommunications standards organizations operating at a global level.
Don't bring up 4G because that really pisses me off. And if anyone says we need to go to 5G because of speed, then I would just point them at the 4G standard, which is supposed to be 1 gig for low mobility and 100 meg for high mobility. And high mobility would be like trains and cars. So one gig for normal pedestrian use and for other low speed, mobility here.
Well, I think what they're touting nowadays is 200 meg for a mobile device that's not in motion. But that data rate goes significantly down when you start walking around or driving around in cars. But yeah, I mean, that's the thing is like these things get set up and they're not realized properly. You know, standards are developed and along comes AT&T waltzing up and like, hey, we're going to do things our way. They did it with 2G. They did it with 3G and 4G. Now they're doing it with 5G. It's bullshit.
Yeah, but see, call me a purist. Should you be moving to the next generation of something when you didn't meet the previous generation? That's the biggest question.
That's a good point.
I think it's ridiculous. So they're going to move on to 5G, which is what speeds are they promising here?
Well, that's a good question. I mean, just about the history of cellular standards. I mean,
so what speeds are we looking at with 5G? What are we really looking at for the new speeds? What are they promising?
Well, I think ultimately we're talking about gigabit speeds, okay? But before we move any further, perhaps we need to get back to basics and explain how wireless cellular technologies have evolved over the years. It began with 1G, which was a voice-only service capable of 2.4 kilobits per second. Those were the days of car phones, 12-pound mobile handsets with large telescoping antennas, Don Johnson sporting pink flamingo shirts near the beach in Miami. Now, 2G came next in the 90s using GSM and CDMA standards to provide SMS text functionality. And that's when the days of three-way calling and eight-hour phone conversations began to die. I mean, good times those were. But then who else but AT&T created 2G Evolution, otherwise known as 2.5G, 2.75G, or EDGE, which, of course, didn't adhere to any industry standards because AT&T is too good for that shit. This is when your tiny flip phone was finally able to load sports scores if you were patient enough to wait 10 minutes for 33 barely readable ASCII characters to render on your display. But hey, phones were finally receiving data, so it was totally rad. And then came 3G in the age of modernity, circa 1998, with speeds up to 2 megabits per second for non-moving devices and mobile phones beginning to resemble what we know them to be today. And by the way, to put things into perspective, most of us didn't have our first 3G-capable phones until several years later. These technologies always hit the market a few years after the establishment of a new standard. And it's going to be that way with 5G, too. Yeah. But,
especially in the United States.
Then with AT&T, a few more interim releases, 4G hits around 2008 and still hasn't been fully realized in rural areas across the United States. But anyway, here's an observation. It seems like a general rule that you'll see a new standard every 10 years, and 5G is now supposedly right upon us. So if the trend continues, Muskrat, maybe we can expect 6G in 2028, which I assume is the standard to bring us teleportation capabilities.
Yeah, right.
In Star Trek terms, that's about right, considering James Tiberius Kirk was born on March 22nd, 2233.
Ooh, getting close.
We are.
Oh, yeah, I don't know. So going through this history here on the cell communications, and of course the United States is always behind on a lot of technology. It's not like Japan or anything like that. So, we get things and pretend they're new, even though they've been around forever. I remember 3G, and my background, I used to work at a carrier that shall remain nameless, and not a cell carrier, an internet carrier, but during that time, all these cell towers were getting off their legacy connections, which were either proprietary or some MPLS, and they were using Metro Ethernet type connections. And we would run 5 meg to cell towers. So 5 meg does not carry many full 3G connections. Now, obviously, that was several years ago. That was around 2009 or so. So I'm guessing the speeds to the cell towers are faster, but since we don't get near 4G speeds, I really don't think 5G is going to meet the theoretical maximum throughput on that as well. I think there's a different reason for 5G, and maybe as we go through some of these research points, maybe we can talk about how 5G requires massive amounts of infrastructure compared to legacy cell communications.
No, totally. I mean, maybe there's ulterior motives. I'm sure every new wireless specification had its challenges when they were first developed, but 5G seems to be on a whole new level. Everyone has to realize that this is supposed to be more than just a mobile cellular technology. This is being marketed as the medium to enable the Internet of Things. But while speed increases and improved reliability are inevitable for mobile phone users eventually, an IoT world where everything is sharing data with everything else presents some big obstacles. Now, a 2017 Gartner report projected about 20.4 billion IoT devices will be connected by machine-to-machine networks by next calendar year. That's next year, 2020. The number of connected devices is massive, and projected need dwarfs the scale of planned 5G architectures. I mean, management of the state information for all these devices is a problem, too. The seamless interoperability and heterogeneity between IoT networks necessary to make it possible presents significant privacy risk. Functionally, for proper device-to-device communication, spectral interference management, just radio frequency interference, that needs to be improved. There's too many sources of radio interference and not enough strategies to mitigate them. And above and on top of all that, a software-defined network, they say, is crucial for the interoperability of these devices. But SDN still demonstrates technical limitations, such as how to properly segment the data and control planes in these circumstances. So
why do they need SDN for 5G? What is their reasoning for that?
Well, because you're talking about, your toaster, that security toaster we talked about last episode, that's going to firewall off all the herpaceous monkeys. That needs to talk to your refrigerator. It also needs to share data, across multiple technology boundaries, to some data center that's aggregating data between, some tractor out in the cornfield and the airplane that's spraying us with, foreign substances. And your garbage can too. So, all these things have to be interconnected. You can't just do that through a traditional network. It needs a software-defined overlay. Mm. That's what they're saying, at least.
Yeah, well, you know, Internet of Things is I can't stand the term for one thing. What a lazy term. Let's describe a bunch of shit with the word things. Internet of Things. Okay, so how many Internet of Things devices do you have? Do you leverage IoT?
Well, I'll tell you what. I'm a little bit behind the times because everybody these days, they have Amazon Alexa hooked up to their little, Philips Hue bulbs that are making pretty little colored lights. And I just have one little smart plug that I have connected to a phone that I use to turn on a light where the little string's broken and I can't turn it on otherwise. So it's just perpetually on until I shut her on or off that little breaker system within this little smart plug. That's all I do. Actually, I got some security cameras, too, for some things, but we're not going to go into detail about that. But right. That's about all I got.
Right. So 5G, the great enabler of IoT, is that how they're selling this? They want direct connections from your refrigerators and every other IoT device in your house to cell towers?
Yeah, that's exactly it. That's exactly it. Really, there's two phases they're looking at here for the 5G rollout. There's a phase one and there's a phase two, and that phase one is actually going to use the same infrastructure as 4G uses today. That's called the, those are frequency bands that are in the licensed spectrum. Basically, they'll have an anchor in 4G frequencies. Your phones are not going to work with 5G, although some vendors are experimenting with modules that can be hooked into your phones to make them 5G compatible. Mm. I don't think that's feasible, but ultimately, you get your 5G phone down the road, and that's going to be able to use 4G infrastructure, improving speed, latency, reliability, all those types of things that people care about. But that's not really the crux of what 5G is supposed to do. That's what we're calling phase two here. It's worth talking about 5G, the standard here, and what enables it. 5G NR, it's called 5G NR, that new radio, is a new air interface specification developed by the 3GPP for 5G mobile networks. The study on 5G NR began in 2015 with the first official specification released at the end of 2017. Ultimately identified 70 different use cases for 5G wireless cellular technologies, with they organized into four main groups, which kind of summarize where this is going. The one that consumers, like I said, are probably anticipating most is the enhancement of mobile broadband services to provide higher data rates, greater coverage, more user mobility than ever before. Mm. Another focus is on reducing latency, improving reliability again, like I talked about. Then there's the IoT, the massive Internet of Things, the network security toasters again. And to round it all off, we're use cases for enhancements to legacy wireless standards, because essentially 5G and 4G are meant to form a symbiotic relationship in the short term.
Mm. Yeah, I'm not buying it. Why does the refrigerator need to talk over 5G, and why can't it talk in your house's usual Wi-Fi going through a firewall? That's what I want to know.
Well, I'll tell you what. So there's a key here to that second phase that I'm talking about. It's called millimeter wave. You heard that term before? Millimeter wave?
They use that in the airports.
That's right. Well, they've been talking and doing studies on millimeter wave for a couple decades. But, millimeter wave is a strange thing when you try and conceptualize what it means for the Internet of Things. Now, millimeter wave is extremely high frequencies. You can pack an awful lot of data into those radio waves, but it can't travel far, and it can't penetrate walls or other obstructions very well at all. You got to have that penetration, muskrat.
Yes, that's right. Always go for the penetration.
Yeah, so, when you're talking about the Internet of Things, you brought up, as we were preparing for this podcast, we're talking about, short-range telecommunication standards that have to be line of sight. So what's that going to look like out in the street? What do you think that's going to look like?
You're going to be putting up these boxes, or I think they talked about them being like 3 foot by whatever, on like telephone poles all over the place. So what is the reasoning behind putting that much infrastructure? And obviously it's probably just going to be in the big cities at first, right? But why would you need to have all of that infrastructure to support phones when our current technology could be invested in properly to bring you the faster speeds that they're talking about, to bring 4G up to real 4G? What is the point of having these boxes all over the place on every pole, every corner? Stores might put them in there. They might give shop owners a kickback for holding one of these devices. So not only the millimeter wave, but think about that. The cell towers already can get your location. a couple means, right? Like when you register to a cell tower, they know you're within a certain distance of that cell tower. So they know your proximity. When you have multiple cell towers that you're communicating with, you can be triangulated. In addition, all the Wi-Fi hotspots that are documented by various agencies and Google and all that stuff know where your phone connects Wi-Fi. So they can get your location all of these ways already. When you start putting these devices on poles, like every 100 feet, every 200 feet or whatever, they're going to be able to get you instantly with or without GPS. It's insane.
Yeah, there's major privacy implications. And the way they're selling this millimeter wave is like, hey, again, we can fit massive amounts of data into these frequencies. And I don't doubt that at all. But really, it's being marketed toward the Internet of Things and not so much about mobile phones. Again, that phase one, using the existing 4G infrastructure and what the 3GPP calls their TR22.864 standard, where they can improve the existing 4G wireless infrastructure to make it 5G compatible. You know, that's really the mobile phone component. But again, the security toasters are going to need those high data transmission speeds.
Yeah, right. Yeah, because they have to tell it, like, what? They have to communicate toast browning levels, and refrigerators have to tell you the inventory control. I don't get it.
Well, really, this is a huge concern as far as privacy, you know, goes, because ultimately, when you're dealing with an Internet of Things mesh, and, you know, again, we're talking about 20.4 billion devices in the IoT market by next calendar year, people are just loading up their homes with this shit, and it's all transmitting personal data back to somebody, and it's not yours anymore. I mean, right. They're using it to market specific products to you, but they're also painting a bigger picture about who you are, what you're doing, and it's Big Brother.
Oh, exactly. And the if you're running routers that have universal plug and play turned on, even if you're not using 5G connectivity, these devices can negotiate their way, through any of your internal networks, and just open up a huge hole for people to get in there and look at your, you know, whatever it is, webcam, etc.
That's right. In fact, if you're a cyber threat actor and you're going out and figuring like who you're going to fuck with on any given day, you're going out and you're running Shodan scans and you're looking for the universal plug and play vulnerabilities. Now, supposedly, and I think that most of the home routers that are shipped these days and sold at stores have, you know, UPnP shut off. But I don't know if that's a fact. The older ones had that on because, hey, it's convenient, but it's a huge vulnerability.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it still gets out. There's a lot of devices that still have UPnP on. And people that just turn it on because they want their devices to get out and they don't know how to do it manually.
Yeah, I mean, the proficiency of consumers has to change. But bottom line, there's a lot here that the 3GPP has to think about in terms of security. The future 5G wireless implementation has to consider identity for both users and IoT devices, authentication mechanisms to validate them, assurance and integrity of data, key management and cryptographic algorithms for privacy, mobility and signaling technologies, which have traditionally shown fatal security flaws, you know, protection of stored data, whether stored locally or in the cloud, and backward compatibility with legacy infrastructure, which wasn't designed with 5G requirements in mind.
Yeah, well, how about those millimeter waves? You know, we keep talking about that. I mentioned that they're used at airports. I mean, these are the things that scan through your clothes. I mean, you know, they get through your clothes. They can, you know, bounce off your skin. But I've seen research that talks about how your skin absorbs these because the waves are so small. Your cells actually become like antennas, and they actually absorb the radiation into the body.
Oh, that's a fact. I mean, millimeter waves are mostly absorbed within 1 to 2 millimeters of human skin and in the surface layers of the cornea, making the skin or near surface zones of tissues the primary targets of the radiation. Because the skin contains capillaries and nerve endings, the bio effects can be transmitted to other parts of the body by the skin or the nervous system.
Yeah, so there you go. So it's a trifecta: privacy, health, stupidity. What's the benefit? What really is so we've already said that 4G has not been realized. I'm doubting 5G is going to get us up to gig speeds. What are they really trying to do? What do you have any insight on what this whole pile of crap is, other than, I think, a big marketing gimmick?
Well, you just gave a key term there, pile of crap, Muskrat. I think that's all it is. It's a steaming pile of crap. But I'll tell you what, I don't think we've scared our listeners enough yet, okay? So I want to take a step back and talk about that health component just a little bit more, okay?
For sure.
All right, so I'll tell you what. What's the basis for these claims? All right, Dr. Joel M. Moskowitz, director for the Center of Family and Community Health at the University of California, Berkeley, published a very eye-opening report about the concerns associated with 5G radio frequencies and millimeter wave technologies in November last year. The report reads very objectively, and there's a lot to be concerned about, especially with the millimeter waves. For instance, thermal impact. Heating effects occur when the power density of millimeter waves is above 5 to 10 milliwatts per squared centimeter. Effects begin with a heating sensation and are followed by pain and physical damage at higher exposures. Temperature elevation associated with millimeter waves can impact the growth, morphology, and metabolism, and can damage DNA. However, current FCC guidelines will ensure exposure to 5G radiation will be low intensity and will therefore be limited to non-thermal effects produced by prolonged exposure to millimeter waves and other sustained exposure to low and mid-band radio frequency radiation. Mm. But here's the thing. Low intensity is a misleading term. It isn't good. A U.S. Army and Air Force study published in 1998, almost 10 years ago, found that 30 to 80% of healthy examinees perceived or exhibited effects associated with low-intensity millimeter waves. And those are healthy, healthy individuals until they got shot up with radiation.
Right. And that's what they always tell you, the thermal values. So they say that if it's not burning you, it's basically harmless is the angle they always go on. And that's why I found it interesting that the studies that were being done on the actual absorption is probably something that not a lot of people are looking at.
No, in fact, they haven't done much research on this at all. All right, so, you know, prolonged exposures. I mean, currently, the FCC regulation established in 1996 defines the maximum permissible exposure of this radiation to 1 milliwatt per squared centimeter averaged over 30 minutes for frequencies that range from 1.5 gigahertz to 100 gigahertz. These guidelines were not designed to protect us from non-thermal risk that may occur with prolonged or long-term exposure to radio frequency radiation. Excuse me. Now, though the impact is characterized as low intensity, the effects of prolonged exposure of non-thermal millimeter wave radiation is unknown. Furthermore, no research has been conducted upon the prolonged impact of non-thermal effects of millimeter waves accompanied by the radiation attributed with low and mid-band radio frequencies.
Yeah, you've got an industry that says if it's not burning you, you know, if they're not seeing thermal effects, and it's non-ionizing. See, that's what the people that the people that think it's fine to just like zap radiation, electromagnetic radiation around the world. Ionizing. If it's non-ionizing, if it's not giving you thermal effects, then that's all good. So why don't those people stick their head in the microwave?
Yeah, I hope they do.
Well,
save us all.
I mean, of course, then they would argue that does cause burning. But if you're telling me that you can get saturated with all of these waves, and if we could see all of the radiation we're exposed to every day, the electromagnetic stuff, we're getting blasted by you know, constant Wi-Fi, cell towers, everything. So now you're talking with these millimeter waves. I mean, what's the upper end of the frequency range on 5G here? What's the top what's the top frequency that these things can reach?
Oh, that's a good question. I mean, we talk about 100 gigahertz. I don't know, but good question. We'll have to go back and look at that a little bit more.
Well, 100 gigahertz, I mean, that's I mean, I just don't get it. Do they really need this to accomplish their goal here? And what are they backhauling all of this with? What is going to get their connection to the internet? I mean, if they're giving people, you know, 1 gig, which they never have with 4G, how many 1 gig connections are they going to get? What are they hooking these devices up with? You know, 100 gig? I mean, no, they're not. They're not going to do that. So,
well, I don't know. I mean, not at the home, at least, you know, but I know that they're offering me 1 gig circuits in my house now, and I think it's fucking ridiculous. No, actually, it was 100 meg, excuse me. But, I mean, Christ, there's like, you know, enterprise circuits that don't go beyond 100 meg, and that's the standard offering in my home right now is 100 meg. And I said, I don't need to run 30 computers all running streaming media at any one time, folks. Don't you have anything less? Hell no, they don't.
No, they just want to sell you a bunch of money. But and they don't care if they even meet it. Like the New York lawsuit where Time Warner or Spectrum now got in trouble for not providing adequate speeds for what they're advertising. And like the modems, they didn't even have the proper modem to support the speed they were running. So I'm guessing they were offering speeds that only DOCSIS 3 could get. And they were giving their customers like DOCSIS 2 modems. That's my guess. I don't know the details, but this is the kind of shit that they do.
Yeah, they're ripping off the consumers, that's for sure.
Right. So let's say they advertise gig speeds over this new 5G network. They're going to have maybe, if we're lucky, one consumer at a time could get a true gig throughput. Now, of course, no one really needs a gig throughput on the phone, so they could pretend to offer that and not actually get it utilized. But if you were to push a gig through your phone, I'm guaranteeing that you're going to saturate the link because these guys are going to have their backbone connection to these cell towers at 1 gig or less. So that means at a max, they could support one true gig connection, and they're probably going to be doing a lot less than that.
Yeah, I got to believe they're going to be running more than 1 gig. You know, maybe it's not 100 gig. Maybe it's 40 gig or 25 gig. They're throwing that around these days. But, I mean, I think they'd give a little bit more than 1 gig, but you might be right.
I don't think
they've
so.
Been doing it for years. You know, yeah. Is they're oversubscribing links, and you know, the consumer is not aware.
Yeah, you're talking about putting a bread box sized thing on, like, you know, telephone poles. There's no way they're running 100 gig links to all of those. So, you know, even if you had a 1 gig link to each of these bread boxes, they're going to go back to some device that's going to get, you know, choked further. So there's no way they're each going to be able to get their full bandwidth. So it's all a shell game. It's all a shell game. And I don't see this happening. I don't see them meeting these commitments. I think this is all to generate excitement. The AT&T CEO statements are a harbinger of things to come. They are right now just downplaying the full implementation of 5G, which might be a good thing in terms of health. I mean, if they don't meet the, you know, if they're not shooting out millimeter waves and they're pretending to be 5G, I could live with that personally.
Yeah, I think civilization rests upon it. But not realizing the second phase of 5G or even the first phase. I mean, hey, I'll tell you what. You heard about the bacteria part of this, all right?
I've heard about people looking at radiation effects on bacteria. Electromagnetic radiation.
Yeah, all these health concerns are a buzzkill, but here's the one that freaks me out the most. You might want to sit down and grab a beer for this, everybody. Hold on. All right.
Let's give it
a 2016 review of research on the effects of millimeter waves on bacteria found that radiation can alter communication of bacteria microbes, which are thought to communicate by electromagnetic field of a sub-extremely high frequency range. Effects were non-thermal and depended on different factors. Essentially, millimeter wave interaction with bacteria changes their sensitivity to biologically active chemicals, including antibiotics, and is possibly a cause for the emergence of drug-resistant strains of bacteria. Now, we've been talking about the rise of these drug-resistant bacteria strains for years now, and this situation is supposedly getting worse. It makes you wonder how much our existing wireless technologies play into this phenomenon, and if it's truly a negative impact, does millimeter wave technology and 5G spell the end of civilization? Will bacteria finally overtake us because of our futuristic vision of smart cities and self-driving cars?
That's it. We have just shot ourselves in the foot, and it's all because of cell phones. You know, that would not surprise me in the least. They're already causing people to walk into traffic because they're looking at their phone instead of the world around them. So if it's causing bacteria to mutate and become resistant to antibiotics, then holy shit. I don't know what to say. Yeah, we're fucked. So is there anything that you can think of that would be a good reason for 5G? I personally think there's nothing. Nothing about it that we should even be caring about at this time.
Well, like I said, they want their self-driving cars. And, of course, they're already working on some of those things. But they want to be able to share data. They want massive marketing and data warehousing so that they can know every single thing there is to know about people. You need a 5G mesh to do that, apparently. They want their smart cities. You know, they want everybody to have, you know, displays on their corneas via contact lenses to tell us the body temperature of the person, you know, under their dress or something like that. I mean, just really weird shit, okay?
Isn't Google, they know everyone's Google searches. They know, they even have these stores you go into if you walk to a brick and mortar. They are looking at your Wi-Fi and they're determining where you're standing more often in the store themselves. There's all this data that's being gathered and they don't think that's enough. You're saying that this 5G is the masterpiece of the surveillance state?
Yes, I'm pretty sure this is a byproduct of that Terminator movie. You know, what the hell was that? That machine called? The one that destroyed and blew up on everybody on Judgment Day. Skynet. This is Skynet, a Skynet conspiracy.
This is Skynet. Well, I guess in the conclusion of everything I've looked at, and it sounds like everything you've looked at, this technology is complete shit, and
it's screwing us. I mean, does John Connor have any hope? I mean, you look at the Terminator movies. John Connor and his resistance forces were able to fight back, but there were little machines on every telephone pole tracking his every movement.
Yeah, which is kind of amazing because in a future like that, you'd think there would be. He was able to hide a lot, it looked like. I don't know. Those machines were not able to find him very well. Just saying. Little plot point. Plot hole.
Maybe the 5G infrastructure in the future wasn't working as well as we think it's not going to. You know?
Well, if AT&T is running it, that's probably why.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I don't know what to tell you, Mongoose, but it sounds like that music is telling us that we're just about out of time here.
Yeah, how do we end on a high note? We just have some fucked up stories. We've had some fucked up 5G conversation. There's got to be some good that comes out of this. National emergency.
National emergency. Orangutans being enslaved. Chinese marrying dolls. 5G is destroying us. I think the only good thing that I can think of is that I just had a lot of rum and some brandy in my Tom and Jerry.
Yeah, that's right. And those rum shot is shot too.
So I think that's all we have to look forward to.
I'll tell you what. I give you all the recipe. So email in. What's the email address again?
Packetsandbolts@gmail.com.
Okay, try the shot. Make the drink. Email us and tell us what you think.
That's right. And this is Muskrat and Mongoose.
Mongoose?
Packets and Bolts. The podcast about technology, life, philosophy, and everything in between. Keep packing those bolts. And until next time, see ya.
Real goat.